Well, I ask for your prayers. I want the Lord to bless these moments together. I feel the weight, responsibility of having a burden from the Lord. I feel like He's given me something to share today. The Scripture tells us that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And before you get excited, I'm not going to preach to you about giving. But I am going to preach to you about giving. So I want the Lord to bless these thoughts today. We can bow our heads in prayer again. Father, these moments that we have before You are moments we can never recall. I pray, Father, You will bless this time that we have and we use it wisely. And Father, when we're finished with this time that You have allotted to us, we can say it's been a blessing. I pray, Lord, by Your Spirit, You will visit us each one this day, and You will cause these words to ignite a fire in our hearts and cause us to draw closer to You. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, my little burden is free will offering. Free will offering. In the book of Exodus, chapter 35, the Lord put upon the hearts of the people in the building of the tabernacle to bring materials for its construction. The internal and exterior materials for the construction of the temple. And the Lord spoke to Moses and told him to speak to the people. And I'll read just a few of the scriptures here in Exodus 35. Verse 20, all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, for all his service, for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets, earrings, rings, tablets, jewels of gold, every man that offer an offering of gold unto the Lord. Verse 24, everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. Every man with whom was found Shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands. All the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. Verse 29, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. We read later, when the construction was completed, if I remember right, the workmen, Bezalel, Aholiab, and the other workmen, went to Moses, and in my own words, if you'll allow me, they said, Moses, I think we're done. Would you come inspect it? So they obviously had felt that they were finished. So they went to Moses and said, you come look. Moses came, inspected it. Apparently he felt that they were finished. And they had a service. And as I remember, the scripture tells us that the Lord came down. The Lord came down. And it says in a cloud filled the temple. And they weren't even able, the priests weren't even able to minister because of the cloud, because of the presence of the Lord. The glory of the Lord had come down and filled the place, and they weren't even able. Now that was the final stamp and seal of approval on what these people had done. For the Lord to be willing to come down and pay them a visit so mighty, so strong, that they couldn't even stand to minister in His presence. Bezalel and Aholiab, fine workmen, God had given them gifts. The scripture tells us those who were willing, they brought their offerings. There were some who were very wise-hearted and spinning, and they did their works. And they brought their things before Bezalel, Aholiab, and Moses and said, now we think we're done. But the final approval rested on the Lord accepting it, and what a show of approval that was. I believe it wasn't so much in what their abilities were. They were fine craftsmen, and I believe that they did everything that they could to do it just as the Lord had said to do it. The scripture tells us to obey is better than sacrifice. And I believe what the Lord wanted from them was a willing heart. A willing heart. The scripture here in Exodus 35, different places, tells us those who were willing brought. The willing-hearted brought. The Lord caused there to be willing hearts, and they brought. And I believe the real seal of approval was that the Lord saw the hearts of the people. They had accepted what He was saying to them, and they, with their hearts, were willing to do not only bring, but to do the work. And when they did that, the Lord put His stamp of approval on their workmanship, on their works. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14, we read different occasions here, and I'm not going to go through all of them. We'll go to verse 22, and we'll read through 29. Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 29. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. Thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, and thy wine, of thy oil, the first things of thy herds, of thy flocks. Thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so thou art not able to carry it, or the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, and the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then thou shalt turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand. Thou shalt go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Thou shalt bestow that money for whatever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, sheep, wine, strong drink, whatever thy soul desireth. Thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God. Thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase, the same year shall lay it up within thy gates. The Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come, and shall eat, and be satisfied in the Lord thy God, that the Lord thy God may bless thee, and all the work of thine hand which thou doest. Here, I believe, are prescribed three different tithes. One is the regular tithe, tithe of increase, which you were to bring and present to the Lord. There was a tithe for the festivals, to finance the festivals. There was a tithe for the poor, for those who were unable to care for themselves. Jesus said, the poor you have always with you. He said, remember the poor. And we have, I believe, a responsibility before the Lord to be willing-hearted, to try to do what we can to help one another and help the poor. I'll say this, just a little side road here. Probably everyone under the tabernacle knows of the situation we had down there in La Ronja, where we had the flooding, where we had 3 feet of water in the chapel and on the grounds and the buildings. And one of the things that has been such a real blessing to us is willing hearts, willing minds, and willing hands. Many hands have been involved in the recovery and the restoration of the grounds there. Monies came in, offerings came in, and we had no idea who all was a part of those offerings. When an offering came in from a congregation, we did our best to try to send thank you notes to those with whom we knew were a part. But there were many that we had no idea who were a part of that. The Lord knew. But what has been such a real blessing is the willing hearts, the willing hands. Those who had the ability to work with their hands and could come and help, they did. Those who could not come or were not able to work with their hands, they sent of their means. All of those things make a huge difference and a huge impact. And it made a huge impact to the congregation. I will say to you this morning, thank you. two little words that seem so short, but they mean a lot. Thank you. Now, it meant a lot the first time we were able to come into the chapel and the walls are painted, and now we have carpet on the floor, and it's a clean, suitable facility. We look at that, and I'll be honest with you, I sat there at different times with tears in my eyes, thanking God for all that was done. Willing hearts. I believe that that's what the Lord is looking for from all of us, to do what we can. I had a brother speaking to me one day. He said, Brother Mike, if I was a young man, I'd be right in there with it. But I'm not young anymore. But he said, but I've got money. I said to him, money will help, because it's going to cost a lot of money. There comes a time, folks, where we can no longer physically do the things that we were able to do. But there are still things that we can do. And coming from a willing heart is what the Lord wants to bless. A free will offering. Free will offering. Everything that we do, everything that God has given to us, folks, He has given it to us not because we deserve it, not because we have earned it, but He has given it to us because He loved us. And that's why the scripture says we love Him because He first loved us. We wouldn't even know what love is except we had experienced it from the Lord. So free will offering. Turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse 47. I'm going to shift gears just a little bit here. 26:47. The Lord was in a moment of His passion. He was spending time with His disciples, speaking to them concerning His final hours, His crucifixion. Now He comes to the garden. He has prayed earnestly, asking the Lord to help Him. He told His disciples to pray with me. He came back and found them asleep. You remember the story. I'm going to rehearse it just so we'll just refresh our memory here. He came back and found them asleep. When He came back and found them asleep, they stirred them a little bit and said, "What, couldn't you watch with me just for an hour? Just for an hour." They had no idea of the feelings and the pressure and the strain that the Lord was feeling at what was before Him. They had no idea. In our humanity, I have found that I am really no better than they were. I know that there are things that you go through in your life that I have no idea how much that impacts you. A call will go out for prayer, and we'll say, we're going to pray. We're going to get down before the Lord and pray. But really, only the individual who is in the battle, who is in the heat of the battle, knows the depth of the need. We can go before the Lord. We can entreat Him. We can press Him for help for those who are in trouble. And I know that you've been that place. I have found myself in that place. I remember one time, feeling so very ashamed, so absolutely ashamed over something. You know, my grandson suffered leukemia. He's gone through the treatments for leukemia, and he's suffered a lot of things in his young life. And I remember watching the things that he would suffer going through the phase with the chemotherapy and things of that nature. And I remember sitting in the room with him and just things going through my mind. And I believe the Lord was speaking to me about some of those things, that there were people that have been through that same battle, had to go through battle of cancer, fighting with chemotherapy and radiation, and they would say they need prayer. They need prayer. That takes on a different meaning now. It takes on a different, it's a different picture now. It's a different image that comes before the mind now. So the disciples, in hearing the Lord say, couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? They had no idea what the Lord was dealing with. They had no idea the feelings, the pressure. Not only was he knowing the crucifixion lay before him, but he also, I believe, felt the weight of the responsibility of, have I conveyed to them those things that will hold them and keep them when I have to leave this world? I know that he had confidence in his Father's plan of salvation. He told the man Legion, who was healed of so many devils, then Legion came to the Lord and said, Lord, I want to go with you. I'd like to follow with you. And Jesus told him, go back to your home. Go back to your family. You tell them the things the Lord has done for you. And it would seem to my mind, if there was ever one that needed to be close to the Lord, Legion would be one. But God, Jesus had confidence in the Lord's plan of salvation. But he also, as we just sang in the moment ago, come thou incarnate word. The scripture says he was made flesh and dwelt among us. He had feelings. He understood. He had emotions. He had concerns. He wanted to make sure that they were praying with him, for him. He wanted to be sure that he had done all that he could. I'm satisfied with that. And he felt, I believe, he felt the pull and the twist of all that was going on. So there's no way for the disciples to understand, watch with me. While I go and pray yonder, watch with me. When someone calls for prayer, they need prayer. They need prayer. And even when we don't understand or know the depth of what it is, the Lord wants us to be willing to stop and take a moment aside to pray. To visit with God about their situation, about their need. Even though I don't understand, I don't know the depth of it, I can still pray. So that's what the Lord had done here. He had asked him to pray, and now comes the time where he's being arrested. While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came. This is verse 47 of chapter 26 of Matthew. Judas came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. Think of that a moment. I want you to think of this. Judas was one of the 12. Judas walked closely with the Lord. The Lord loved Judas. He included him in his inner circle. The Lord had a special feeling for Judas. He cared about him. But there came a point where Judas let the enemy take advantage of him. And now he comes before the Lord in the garden when Christ is in his passion, there with the other disciples. Judas comes with an army of people to arrest the Lord, and he says, hail, Master. And he kissed him. He had told the people with him, whom it is that I kiss, that's him. You hold him fast. I want you to think of what just took place. Jesus betrayed with a kiss by one of his inner circle. Betrayed with a kiss by one of his inner circle. Then they came, well, he said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. The servant was named Malchus. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall all the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 49. When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said to him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. At the moment where Jesus was about to be arrested and taken away, this man, Malchus, scripture says it was Peter who drew his sword and came down on his ear. If you allow me this little side, I don't believe he was trying to cut off his ear. I believe Peter was trying to split his skull. And it was a glancing blow. But in that moment, the Lord reached out and healed the man's ear. At a moment of his betrayal, at a moment when he is about to be arrested and taken away, about to be crucified, about to be mistreated, cruelly mocked, beaten, all of those things that we read about concerning the crucifixion, knowing what was before him, Jesus reached out with compassion toward this man and healed his ear. Right before those wicked men, right before Judas, right before all of them, Jesus performed a miracle by restoring this man. I don't know how those who were in the presence of that miracle could stand there without some type of fear entering their minds. But they did. They went ahead with their evil deed. They arrested the Lord. They took him away. Now I want to go back to Matthew. Chapter 27. Verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. Straightway one of them ran, took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Every man, since the fall in the garden, we haven't only been liable to death because of the curse of sin, but the truth is, in God's justice, pure, holy, righteous justice, we've deserved it. Amen. We deserve to die. All of us have forfeited our lives because of sin. We live because of a merciful God. Jesus Christ, born immaculate, virgin birth, having never sinned, had not forfeited his life. I want us to understand this. He knew no sin. He had not forfeited his life because of sin. He gave his life for sin. And we can consider that because he knew no sin, he was a source of life, the fountain of life, we can consider that he was naturally and just properly immortal. In the beginning of the creation account, we read, God said, let us. The scripture tells us in the book of John, in the beginning was the Word. Come thou incarnate Word. In the beginning was the Word. That was Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John also says later in that little passage, he said, and we beheld him in his glory on the mountain. We saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. There was something there that we saw, that we witnessed, that was beyond human comprehension. We saw something there take place, as Scripture tells us, that his countenance, that his raiment was white and glistering. And there was a voice that said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You hear him. The Father gave witness of who this man was, gave witness of who Christ was. Christ had never sinned. Christ had never done anything to deserve death. In our minds, we look at the crucifixion scene as saying, they killed our Lord. Mary, when she came to the place to take the Lord's body, she asked about where have they laid him. The indication was, and everything to the natural eye looked as though they had taken the life of our Lord. But we read this account where it says, he yielded up the ghost. I want us to understand there is a special significance in the Greek terminology where it says, he yielded up the ghost. Folks, they did not kill my Lord. They crucified my Lord. They did not take his life from him. He willingly laid it down. He willingly gave it. How do you kill the source of life? How do you extinguish the source of life? He was the source of life. He is the source of life. Life comes from that being, that eternal one. I thank God, folks, that we serve a God who is able to sustain, who is able to bear us up. The Lord said, he very clearly said in the book of John, chapter 10, verses 17, 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. That terminology, there in Matthew, it says he yielded up the ghost, means this. He dismissed his spirit. He dismissed his spirit. The Greek word, aphiemi, means send forth. They didn't kill the Lord. He was a free will offering. An absolute, the purest form of a free will offering. Because when it came down to that point where he hung there on that cross and he was in agony, he was in distress, he was hurting folks just like any other human being would hurt. He was in pain. He was racked with pain. But there came a point where he said, he yielded up the ghost. He dismissed his spirit. The scripture says, Jesus' own words, no man takes my life from me. No man, folks, he didn't yield, he didn't cede that power and authority to humanity. He kept that power for himself to make a free will offering for your soul and my soul so that we could be saved. That is the depth and the meaning of a free will offering. You can't get any freer than that. You can't get any deeper than that. When he said, I dismissed my spirit. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Lord, I give up my spirit. You said, no man takes my life from me. You said that I had power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. And that's a commandment you have given me. And my Father loves me. And this is what I do because I love humanity. And I love my Father. And I do the will of my Father. I freely give. I thank God, folks, again, in this scripture in John, where Jesus was trying to confirm to the disciples, "No, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Not that I yield it so they can kill me." He had power over that. He said, "Don't you know? Don't you know that if I wanted to, I could presently call more than 12 legions of angels, and my Father would give them to me. But if I did that, how could this be accomplished? How could it be accomplished what the Lord wants me to accomplish?" So he freely gave. And that's what he's asking of you and me. No, he's not asking us to be crucified for sin. I have no price to pay for my own sins nor for your sins. But he gave us a perfect example of a free will offering, of being willing to lay it all down. I am so thankful for when I was meditating about this and studying about this some time ago, when I started reading this scripture, my Father loves me because I laid down my life. No man takes it from me. I had always in my mind, I had had this image of Christ on that cross and those soldiers standing there. And I had had the vision of the Israelite, the Jews, the Hebrews crucifying the Lord. They killed my Lord. They killed my Lord. But when I found out in reading the scriptures and studying these scriptures where Jesus said, "No, that's not what happened, son. That is not what happened. No man could kill me. I laid it down for you. I laid it down for you. And I have power to take it again." And when he was in that grave, Mary came looking for the Lord, and he wasn't there. And a man came up, the gardener, or a man came up, she supposed he was the gardener, rather. She said, "Can you tell me where they've taken my Lord? Because I want to go get his body." He said, "Mary. Mary." And she knew immediately what had taken place. She knew it was the Lord. When the scripture says that there was an earthquake and an angel came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it, that's a beautiful vision in my mind. Because I visualize that power and authority of that angel rolling away that stone that where the body of the Lord was entombed, that the angel rolled away that stone and it says he sat on it. To me, that's an image of dominion and power over that thing. He sat on it. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He isn't here. He is risen as he said. As he said. And he did that because he loved you and he loved me. No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it again. I want to read to you a couple more scriptures here. Book of Acts. Stark difference in the terminology. Book of Acts chapter 5. Chapter 5 verse 5. Ananias, hearing the words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Verse 10. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And then later in Acts chapter 12 concerning Herod. Said he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now those words in our English translation sound very similar, don't they? They sound very similar. But it's a vastly different word in the Greek. These words, gave up the ghost, yielded up the ghost, gave up the ghost, in the book of Acts means expired. Simply put, expired. Nothing fantastic about it. They died. Just like you and I will do. We die. They died. They expired. Now I know that can sound a little cold. But there is a stark difference between what the Lord did and what these did. It's translated the same in our English version. But the wording is very different in the Greek. Jesus sent forth his spirit. He dismissed. You see, he had power and authority over that. It wasn't taken from him. He freely and willingly dismissed it. They couldn't take it from him. He's a source of life. So he dismissed it to the Father. These people expired. Their time ran out, and they were gone. A drastic difference in the way that we understand the interpretation of these scriptures. Just by a little study and looking to the Greek language, how beautiful it is, folks, to know that we serve a Lord that has all power in heaven and in earth. He spoke this world into existence. He gave us opportunity to serve Him. He said that we could have eternal life. He talks about in the scripture, I believe it's in the book of Revelation, it talks about the resurrection, talks about the second death, and those who have taken part in that resurrection, in that first resurrection, on whom the second death hath no power. Thank God, folks. And the second death is in reference to hell. Every one of us is going to die once. We're going to lay these bodies down, unless the Lord comes back first. But the second death, and the scripture speaks about the second death, is speaking about eternal damnation. Speaking about eternal death, eternal loss. Thank God, folks, we can take part in the first resurrection on whom the second death hath no power. That's what our Lord did for you and me. No man takes it from me, he said. I want you to understand this. He's trying to speak to the disciples in words that I'm sure that they weren't able to understand. I wasn't able to understand it. And he said, remember, when that day comes, remember, thou don't kill me, I give it. A free will offering. Ultimate free will offering is what the Lord did for you and me. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. I trust these few words and few moments will be a blessing to us. And we understand that our Lord loved us so much, He was willing to yield that power to the Father and say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And you love me because I'm obeying you. And you love me because I'm willing to hold on and I send forth my spirit. You pray for me. God bless each one. Amen.